Chapter 15. One by one, the team members arrive in the Sky Garden above the polished district of Hana City. It's where the citizens often gather to openly debate politics, which is apparently a favorite activity here on Chandrila. To Nora's mind, it just sounds wearisome. She'd far prefer going home and fixing a meal, or be out doing something, anything other than discussing politics. Yes, she recognizes that such a discussion has value, participating in democracy and all that. Just the same, she'd rather be 100 parsecs from it. Thankfully, today, no such debate is present. The Sky Garden has been sealed, and they are, for the moment, alone with one another.
"Something's going on,"
Jazz says, leaning up against a planter. Her arms are crossed, and she's chewing a piezo stick, a dried, cured branch from the slickbark tree. Chandrillans chew it and suck the juices to stay awake. Pilots in particular love them when they can get them.
"It's a little too strange that all this stuff is happening. Two heroes of the rebellion go missing, then the probe droid signaling a Star Destroyer, and with Toshu somehow wound up in all this. I don't trust any of it."
Sinjir drapes himself backward across a bench. He spins the cap off a tarnished mercurium flask and nips at it, smacking his lips.
"Toshu's a bird trapped in a turbolift. Barking, flogging mad, that one. Still, he gave up the answer to my question without a second's thought. He wanted me to know, which makes me think not actually a General Solo is in a deep dive."
Nora nods.
"Either he's in trouble, or we are."
She expects her son to come back with some whipcrack sentiment. He's good at those when all the chits are on the table. But instead, he sits off to the side, staring at nothing. Distracted. Sullen. Nora thinks,
"I'd better get ahead of that when we're done here."
And then she wonders,
"Should I tell him about Wedge? What will he think?" Panic assails her.
Meanwhile, Jom paces, craning his head and stretching.
"Those bounty hunters did a right nasty number on me."
His joints pop and crackle as he moves them about. He grunts and shrugs.
"Maybe it's high time we realize that Solo is not our mission. We've got real targets to look after. Need I remind the lot of you that we had Admiral Ray Sloan in our sights back on Akiva? And as it turns out, she's basically the military head of the Empire these days. Let Solo be Solo. I want another shot at Sloan."
Behind them all, Mr. Bones chases after a butterfly. He catches it gingerly in the cup of his clawed hands. Then he tears its wings off. Nora refocuses and jumps in, saying,
"I'll remind you that if it weren't for Leia and Solo, that shield generator would have stayed up, and the Death Star would remain."
Her insides twist at the thought of how that would have played out.
They were already outnumbered and outgunned before the beam from the battle station lit up the black and destroyed both the Liberty and the Mon Calamari cruiser Nautilian.
It takes everything she has to hold it together. And she can't stop injecting a little venom into her voice when she says,
"We wouldn't be standing here if it weren't for him. So a little loyalty wouldn't go amiss, Burrell."
Nearby, there's a soft chime as the turbolift platform at the center of the park begins to rise, bringing with it a small group. Akbar leads, striding in his way, his head pointed forward as if drawn forth by the gravity of sheer purpose. Leia walks with him, speaking animatedly, worriedly. Wedge trails alongside Commodore Augate.
"Wedge."
He lifts his gaze and meets Nora's. And for just a moment, all her anxieties and all her worries fall away, like a heavy rucksack allowed to slip from her weary shoulder. That ends with the brusque sound of Akbar clearing his throat. His lips press together, and he seems poised to speak. Sinjir whistles low and slow. Nora leans forward and kicks his shin. The ex-Imperial grouses and sits up, wiping a line of liquor from his lip. Deep in his cups, he noisily whispers to the others,
We are about to be reprimanded by the Academy Commandant, children. Shh!
This is not a reprimand,
Akbar says gruffly.
You were operating under my request,
Leia says, and then adds with a crisp shot of bitterness,
I'm the one who received the reprimand. Sir, Nora says, with all due respect.
But the Mon Calamari does that thing he does, where he shuts you up with a look. His bold golden eyes fix on her.
Han Solo, as I understand it, has resigned his military commission. And even if he had not, we cannot pivot the entire New Republic to search for one man willfully gone off the reservation. We're already overextended. Our reclamation of systems is slow, our grip tenuous. Your team, Lieutenant Wexley, is designed to serve a single purpose. And finding a smuggler, however good-hearted and helpful he is not that purpose. Your search for Solo ends now. You will return to pursuing Imperial war criminals post-haste.
No.
That single word comes out of nowhere. Nora wonders who even spoke it aloud until she realizes it was her own voice. Akbar seems taken aback. His nostrils flare as he scowls.
She says it again, wishing desperately she could catch the words before they leave her mouth and shove them back down into her throat. But the effort is futile. No, we won't. The New Republic owes Leia and Solo a great debt. He's missing, and I think he's in danger. The Empire doesn't want us to find him, and that's all the more reason we should be looking. So, with all due respect, we will continue our search for Solo. Oh, no. What am I doing? Shut up, Nora. Shut up.
Her fears reflect back in Wedge's eyes, now as big as moons. He shakes his head at her, trying to tell her to stop.
Are you disobeying an order?
Akbar asks.
No, she thinks. I would never. I'm a pilot. I'm a soldier. I'm a rebel.
Oh.
Yes,
she says, the word erupting out of her.
I am disobeying your order. I resign my military commission. This is the right thing to do, and I aim to do it, no matter who stands in my way. I'll find Solo myself.
Sinjir sits forward, grinning like a maniac.
Well, this just stopped being tedious.
Jazz, too, looks on with a smirk, twisting the ends of her mouth. Though Nora doesn't know if that smirk signifies approval or amusement or something else entirely. Jom, on the other hand, looks like he just ate a piece of rotten meat. And Temin? He's already at her side.
I'm in too, Mom.
Leia steps forward. She clasps Nora's hands in her own.
Lieutenant Wexley, Nora. Nora, please reconsider. Don't do this to yourself. Not for me.
Why not? You'd do it for me. For all of us.
That person, the princess and general and all the Holovids, that's not some creation. It's not propaganda. It's you. You gave up so much for us. You lost your world. At least let me get your husband back.
Nora leans forward, and in a much lower voice says,
And a child needs its parents. I know that now.
Leia appears speechless. All she can do is acquiesce with a small nod.
That's done, then,
Nora says, as her heart churns, excited and panicked, blood through her veins. She feels woozy, like she's on the edge of something. But it feels good. It feels right.
Private Citizen Nora Wexley, I suspect this meeting no longer involves me. If you'll excuse me, Admiral, I have matters I must attend to.
The matters Nora must attend to include, in order, A, trying very hard not to vomit, B, trying doubly hard not to pass out, C, feeling both lost and free at the same time, which is probably why she feels like vomiting and passing out. She stands at the far side of the Sky Garden, away from the others, just out of sight. She can't go. Not yet. Her legs are too wobbly, and she's not really even sure where she's going. That's the thing. For so many years now, she's been on rails, fixed to a track, not of her own making. She almost jumped that track on Akiva, but it wasn't long before duty called, and once again she was swept up in someone else's cause. Admittedly, it felt comfortable. It felt easy. Following orders is simple. But the galaxy isn't simple, is it? The Empire is about following orders, but the Rebel Alliance was about changing all that, tossing it on its head and flipping up an obscene gesture before walking out of the room. The Empire didn't care about individuals. It cared only about itself. Still does. But Nora wants to care about people again. Not orders. Not governments. She adds a new matter she must attend to when she tries not to cry. She fails. Nora sobs. Her shoulders hitch. And what comes out of her is a desperate animal sound. Brenton, her husband, Temin's father. Brenton is lost precisely because she got swept up in someone else's cause. And now her chances of getting him back are gone. Because she chose a path bigger and greater, even if it wasn't her own. It was his. It was Brenton's cause. He was the rebel. She just wanted to be a mother to her son. The galaxy, she hoped then, would sort itself out. She leans forward, wiping up tears with a drag of her forearm. A hand falls upon her shoulder. It's her son. She sweeps him up into a hug. He oofs a little and then goes with it, hugging her back. Approaching under a copse of flyleaf trees are both Sinjir and Jazz, with Bones tootling behind. Nora says to them,
"Sorry to do that back there. I know I'm abandoning you and the team, but..."
"Shut up,"
Jazz says, rolling her eyes.
"We're in."
"What?"
"We're going to help you find Solo."
Sinjir snorts.
"Little Miss Bounty Hunter here even negotiated a truly impressive fee for the job."
"Shut it, Rathvilis."
10 credits. 10. "We're all getting paid enough that we can probably spit a steaming kofta bun.
Or all buy 4 bottles of Jogan juice. Small bottles.
We'll be richer than in our wildest dreams."
"Provided that our wildest dreams have us living in total destitution. You've gone soft, Amari."
"Like the lady said, we have debts. I pay mine."
"And John?" Nora asks.
Jazz scowls.
"No. The coward is sticking with them. And Tilly's too."
"That's fine. They have to follow their path. We have ours. So let's get to work."
She draws a deep breath and wonders exactly what they're getting themselves into.
"Han Solo is apparently not going to find himself,"